Imagine going from barely affording your child's shoes to becoming wealthier than the Queen of England in just 5 years. This isn't fiction. It's the extraordinary journey of Joanne Rowling. Before Harry Potter became a global phenomenon with 8 blockbuster films, theme parks, and merchandise worth billions, it was simply the desperate dream of a single mother writing in Edinburgh cafes while her baby slept. Her story reminds us that sometimes the most powerful magic isn't found in wands or spells, but in perseverance through life's darkest moments. What makes this tale so compelling isn't just the rags-to-riches transformation, but how Rowling's personal struggles, depression, poverty, and grief shaped the wizarding world that would captivate over 500 million readers worldwide and redefine children's literature forever. Born July 31, 1966, the same birthday she later gave Harry, Joanne grew up in a book-loving household. Her parents' nightly reading sessions would later inspire her magical world. By age 6, Joanne was writing stories about enchanted creatures for her younger sister, Diane. "Writing for me has always been a wonderful compulsion," she later explained, while devouring books voraciously. Harry Potter came to her during a delayed train journey between Manchester and London in 1990. As Rowling gazed at a field, the image of a boy who didn't know what he was, attending a wizarding school, materialized in her mind. Without writing materials, she committed this vision to memory, developing it over 5 years into an intricate magical universe spanning 7 books. In Edinburgh's Nicholson's Cafe, Rowling transformed from struggling single mother into the architect of Hogwarts. Harry's appeal lies in his authentically childlike nature while carrying adult burdens, breaking rules when necessary, struggling with emotions, making impulsive decisions. As his U.S. editor, Arthur Levine, noted, "The fantasy of being underappreciated, then discovered as special, resonates deeply across generations." At 26, Rowling's life collapsed. Unemployed, trapped in a failing relationship, and devastated by her mother's death from multiple sclerosis, Harry Potter became her light in darkness, though writing sometimes brought tears when Harry's orphaned status reminded her of her own loss. After teaching in Portugal, a failed marriage, and the birth of her daughter Jessica, Rowling returned to Edinburgh as a depressed single mother with 3 chapters of Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. Living on welfare in a grotty flat, she struggled to balance writing with supporting her child. With no money for Christmas presents, she nearly abandoned writing until her sister Di laughed appreciatively at Harry's story. "It's possible that if she had not laughed, I would have set the whole thing aside," Rowling admitted. This encouragement helped her finish the book within a year. On public assistance, she developed her now legendary routine, writing in cafes while her daughter slept in her stroller. Despite these difficulties, Harry Potter became her emotional salvation, her imaginary white knight righting wrongs when her own life seemed hopeless. After completing her manuscript in 1994, Rowling struggled financially, barely affording 2 typed copies. When Christopher Little agreed to represent her, she was elated. "I assumed it was a rejection note. It was the best letter of my life." Despite his enthusiasm, 12 publishers rejected the manuscript before Bloomsbury Press acquired it in 1996 for just $2,000. Later, Scholastic Press made an unprecedented $100,000 bid for U.S. rights, stunning Rowling. Published in England in 1997, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, retitled Sorcerer's Stone in America, quickly sold 150,000 copies, won prestigious awards, and reached 500,000 copies by 1998, extraordinary for children's literature. Success brought financial security. Rowling could finally afford a comfortable house and proper shoes for her daughter Jessica. Each subsequent book broke sales records, with Goblet of Fire selling 3 million copies in its first weekend in the U.S. alone. As her fame grew, Rowling struggled to balance public demands with writing time. As Harry Potter's popularity exploded, Warner Bros. Secured film rights on Rowling's terms, live action with her input on the screenplay. After auditioning over 40,000 children, Daniel Radcliffe was cast as Harry, alongside Emma Watson and Rupert Grint as Hermione and Ron. Filming began in October 2000 across London. Rowling's fears about Hollywood proved unfounded as she maintained influence on script changes, casting, and production. Filmmakers meticulously recreated her vision from King's Cross to Hogwarts. While her professional life soared, her personal life blossomed too. In early 2001, she met Dr. Neil Murray, an anesthesiologist whose humor and lack of starstruck awe attracted her. Their relationship developed through quiet Edinburgh outings, with Neil accommodating her writing schedule and connecting well with Jessica. They married in December 2001 in a secret ceremony and later welcomed son David, 2003, and daughter Mackenzie, 2005. Despite her wealth, Rowling maintained perspective. "I honestly believe that the only people who will really appreciate that are people who have been very, very broke. What I'm grateful for every day is that I'm not worried about the money." Beyond literary achievements, Rowling's most meaningful work emerged through charitable efforts and reader connections. In 1999, she reached out to Natalie McDonald, a dying 9-year-old Harry Potter fan, sharing secrets about the upcoming book, though her message arrived a day after Natalie's passing. Moved by this, Rowling immortalized the girl in Goblet of Fire as a Gryffindor first year, the only real person named in the series. This compassion extended to many children, including 6-year-old cancer patient Katie Hotch. When Katie's condition deteriorated, Rowling called repeatedly to read unpublished portions of Goblet of Fire to her. After Katie's death, Rowling told her parents their daughter had left footprints on my heart. As her wealth grew, Rowling devoted herself to charitable causes, particularly supporting single parents and multiple sclerosis research. In 2006, she helped launch the Children's High Level Group for Disabled and Institutionalized Children across Eastern Europe. These efforts revealed the true magic in Rowling's life, her ability to transform not just her own circumstances, but others' lives as well. On January 11, 2007, Rowling finished writing Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows in room 652 of the Balmoral Hotel in Edinburgh, marking the occasion by inscribing a marble bust, a quiet acknowledgement of literary history being made. Concluding Harry's journey after 17 years was emotionally overwhelming. When released in July 2007, nearly 11 million first edition copies sold within days. "I don't think I'm ever going to have anything like Harry again," she admitted. Yet her greatest achievement may be the millions of children who discovered reading through her books. From welfare recipient to billionaire, from unknown writer to cultural icon, Rowling's journey embodies her book's themes: love triumphing over adversity, friendship, and self-belief. Her story reminds us that ordinary people can achieve extraordinary things, and that success comes from pursuing dreams through life's darkest chapters. In creating Harry Potter, she didn't just build a fantasy world, she changed our real one.